The first 2 weeks, we talked first about a case of a theft. If you see that your watch is in someone's house, so there, that's the typical case of other inish din lanashi, a person's allowed to take the law into his own hands. We said, the Rush said, that it's only talking where something that you could prove in court, then you're allowed to take it, because you're like the dayan, just like the court would judge that you can have your watch back, you can also take it back if it's something you could prove. If you can't prove it, so then you have no right to take it. However, we did say the sma says if you go take it, sneak in and take it without anyone seeing you, so then you have a migu, you would win the case in court, because believe me to say, I snuck in and took my own watch back because I could have said I didn't take it in at all, no one saw me, there was no witnesses that saw me steal into your house. So in that case, you would win also. We quoted Ben Bagbag, who the Gemara seems to say Ben Bagbag in Bava Kama says you're not supposed to sneak in, you have to punch him in the nose, he should know what you're doing. And there we said that most poskim seem to say it's either an Eitzah Tova, some Midas Chassidus, we don't paskin that way, and we'll leave it like that, that if you want to really do it, the best way is punch him in the nose when no one's looking and go into his house and take it, and that way you're not being sneaky, you have your migu, and as we said, you can punch him in the nose if you need to do it, because that's part of taking the law into your own hands. The judge also will hit someone to make him follow the halacha, so you also are allowed to hit him and damage his property, whatever you need to get the job done. But that's what we said the first week. Last week we talked about loans. If someone borrowed money from you and he's not paying you back, so now, even though you should be able to take the law into your own hands and just snatch the money back, but there's a problem, because there's halacha, Isser D'Oraisa, there's an Isser D'Oraisa against taking a mashkan from a lova. If someone borrowed money, you're not allowed to take a security from him except at the time of the loan, but you're not allowed to go into his house and take a security afterwards. So therefore we said there'd be no way that you can just go and take the money back, because that would be over an Isser D'Oraisa. We found some Eitzah that if you take it on the condition that this is the end of the payment, then you go out directly to the Beis Din and to make the Shuma of what it's worth. So then we found some Eitzah for you. But generally, in the case of a loan, you have this technical problem of an Isser D'Oraisa, you're not allowed to take a mashkan. That will prevent you from taking the law into your own hands. Tonight, we're going to talk about a third type of cases, which is probably the most common, because it's anything except these two cases. We're going to talk, the two cases I emailed were, so one case was that a person was working for a computer company and he saw that he wasn't getting his paycheck the last few weeks, and then he had heard rumors that the owner was going to close down and go off to America. He's never so he's going to run away to America, and this person who was owed a few weeks of wages wanted to get paid. So he took a couple computers home with him, and he figured if they ever go bankrupt, he'll have the computers, and that will be his wages. Is that a proper thing to do? Can he take the law into his own hands to take his lost wages, the wages that are earned or that are owed him? It's another case I saw, that's from the Shimon Mishpat. The Shura Sadin has a case where someone went to the store and he bought a case of wine. And when he got home, he saw that there was one bottle missing. There's only 11 bottles instead of 12. And he goes back to the store and says, there are only 11 bottles here, I want a 12th bottle. And the owner of the store didn't believe him. So the question is, next time when he goes, can he, when he buys a half a dozen bottles of wine, can he sneak in a seventh one to make up for the one that he got that he didn't get, that he had bought, that he wasn't given to him, to make up for the stonewalling of the seller who doesn't want to give him back that bottle of wine. In other words, can you take the law into your own hand in cases that are not theft, but are not loans? Right? If they're theft, you certainly can take your object back. Here it's a case of lost wages, of someone not giving you the right item. So can you do it there? If it was a case of a loan, you certainly couldn't, because you can't take a mashkan by a loan. So these are the cases in between that we'll talk about tonight. Okay, so we'll start with a braisa and bar mitzvah. Last week we learned that you can't take a mashkan from a borrower. But the Braisa and Bamasiya continues, Tana Rabbanan, the Sukkah continues with a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Vasava al Beisel Avot Avoto. Right, that's the pasuk we saw last week. You can't go to the borrower's house to take a security. And from that, the Braisa makes a diyuk lebeiso, el beiso, to his house, lebeiso yatan nichnas. You can't go into the house of a borrower, the borrower himself. But you're allowed to go to the house of the guarantor of the loan. There's no issue in taking a mashkin from an arev. The Braisa has another drasha, l'tzad sheni, it goes with other psukim there, but then the Braisa says, l'tzad sheni, another thing we can learn from there, l'veiso yaton nichnas, you can't go to the house of a borrower to take a mashkin, havaton nichnas l'tzhar katos, l'tzhar chamor, but you could go into his house to take a security for debts other than loans, like you were a porter, you were a donkey driver, and he didn't pay you, you can go in to take a mashkin to get him to pay you your wages. L'tzhar pundok, l'tzhar diyuk nos, for he stayed by your house, he didn't pay you the lodging fees, and you painted for him, he didn't pay you for that. So in those cases, you can go take your wages, your money that's owed you. The Braisa concludes, Yocham, I think, Afilo Zokfan Alavim Milva. Maybe you can do it even if they were converted to a loan, because sometimes it goes like this. I worked for you, and you owe me $1,000. And you say, look, I don't have the money right now. I'll pay you off in the next 6 weeks, $100 a week for 10 weeks. 10 weeks, not 6 weeks. Right, so that your wages were converted to a loan in that case. So I might think if the loan was a result, the loan emerged from a non-loan. It emerged from a wages or some other type of form, maybe then also you could take a mashkin. Tamlo or masas muma, any type, once it's a loan, you can't take a mashkin. But until it becomes a loan, it's just money that someone owes you because he bought something from you, he didn't pay for it. He didn't pay for your picture. He didn't pay for your work that you did. He didn't pay for you letting him stay in your hotel. He didn't pay those wages, those fees. So you're allowed to take a mashkin. Right, so this undoes the problem that we had last week. The problem with taking the law into your own hands by a loan was you can't take a mashkin. But if it's anything other than a mashkin, like he owes you money for wages, like the case of the computer worker, or you bought something from him and he didn't give you your full amount, so then you should be able to take the law into your own hands. And in fact, that's what the Yivash Paskins on the other side of the Yivash says like this. Mitam Ovid Inishina Lanafshe, based on the loss of Ovid Inishina Lanafshe, who Yochol Afil Litvos Metaltaliv, you're allowed to take someone's movable objects, Kol Shemotim Rishus Hachayim Shalom, if you find in someone else's Rishus, that's by a loan, Afil Likach Miyado, you can even take it from the person's hand, the person that owes your money, from his hand itself, Uvibesu, or from his house, Kol Shachov Eino Havoa Mamish. As long as it's not a real loan. If it's not a loan, so you can take a mashkin. That's what the Gemara said. So based on this, the Ramah Paskins, Yeshomrim, this is one Yeshomrim, it's not the end, but the first Yeshomrim, the Ramah says, Dafka b'chava mamish, it's that which we said last week. This is based on what Shulchan Aruch we saw last week, that you can't take the law into your own hands by a loan. So the Ramah says that some say that's only by a loan, a real loan. But if someone owes the money without a loan, it was from some other form of debt, from working, from wages, from lodging, mutar latov, so you're allowed to seize it as ovid inish nidla nafshe. But that is the psak of the Ramah based on the Rivash, and we would be able to go home, like we always say. But there's a big problem. It's a big machlokas because there's another Gemara, Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos goes like this. Rav Huna, hey on the days, Rav Huna, tkipulei arba ma'a dona lechamra. Rav Huna had 100 barrels of wine, 400 barrels of wine, and they turned into vinegar. Ol legabe Rav Yehuda, achur Rav Sala, chasida v'rabonam. Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala Chasida and other of the rabbis went to visit him. Ramila Rav Ada Bar Ava Rabbanan, some say it was Rav Ada Bar Ava who went with the Rabbanan to visit him. Omer Leva said to him, it's not coincidental that your 400 barrels of wine turned to vinegar. You must have done something wrong. La'ayin mar b'milei. You should, why didn't you look into your affairs to see maybe you did something wrong that you had such a loss? So Amar Lu, Rav Huna didn't like that. He said to them, Umi chashina be'inaichu. Did I do so? Why do you think I did something wrong? Why are you suspecting you're doing something wrong? Amar Lei, they said back to him, you suspect Hashem that he messed up your wine for no reason. So Amar Lehu, so Rav Huna said back, someone hears that it's something wrong in my business dealings, let them tell me. Amar Lei, so they said, Hachi Shmila, we did hear something about you. You have a sharecropper, and the rural sharecropper, you split a certain amount of the crops, and we heard that you did not give the enough branches, his share, to your sharecropper. So Amar Lehu, Rav Huna said back to them, did he leave anything for myself? He sold them all. He normally, the way it works, the sharecropper works, and now the owner of the farm, owner of the land, takes the whole harvest and gives a certain amount to the sharecropper. But over here, Rav Huna said, my sharecropper stole from me. So when I didn't give him his share of the branches, that's only to make up for the part that he stole from me. He stole 50 branches from me, so I didn't give him back those 50 branches. I took them for myself. So Amar Lehi, they said back to him, you think you're taking the law into your own hands, it's okay. This is what people say. Basar ganva genov v'tayim atoyim. Steal from a thief, and you will also taste the time of stealing. In other words, you're not right. He did right. The sharecropper was wrong. He stole from you. But two wrongs don't make a right. Just because he stole from you doesn't give you a right to steal from him. So, Amar Lehu, Rav Huna said to them, Kabino le de'o imno le, I'm now in the Kabbalah myself, you're right, I'll give him his branches. Some say as a result of his tshuva, the vinegar went back to wine. Some say it wasn't a such an ex nigla, but vinegar, the price of vinegar went up and cost the same price as wine, so he recovered his loss. That's the Gemara. And the Gemara seems to clearly be saying that if someone steals branches from you, you can't take the law into your own hands and take branches back. What happened to Ovid Inush Dina Lenavshi? What happened that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands? How's this different than taking your watch back from the house, which we said before she can do? Right. So there's an obvious difference, and that difference is that you're not taking your watch back. If you go into his house and take the branches that he stole and take those back, that you could take the law into your own hands. But to say, well, he stole branches from me, so I'm going to take something that I owe him, something else, other branches, that you're not allowed to do. That's what we see from Rav Huna, that from this sugya with Rav Huna. And based on this, the Mordechai says like this. The Mordechai brings to Akasha for a klonimus, hikshahar av klonimus, hala min adin lokach. What was wrong? What did Rav Huna do wrong? He took min adin. The kaimon we hold of an ish din l'nafshi, someone steals something from you, you can take the law into your own hands. What did Rav Huna do wrong? V'yesh lomar, the Mordechai answers, ha'nedavka osa davar atzmo. That's not like you're taking back that very item, shenilkach lo la'adam, that was taken from you. There it's muter lo likochenu, v'chol mokam she'ochel asigo. Then you're allowed to take it wherever you can find it. Dumi demilza de ben baglag, just like the case of ben maglag, the omer shalohu nota, where you go to him and say, I'm taking back my item. And in the case of Rav Huna, lokach zimeros acherim shloganim lo ha'aris. Here he took branches that the aris had not stolen. The branches that the aris stole were gone. Now he's taking back branches, and because you stole from me, I'm going to take these branches. That you can't do. And the way the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he explains it, he says, when the aris took the branches, what did he think he was doing? The aris took 20 branches. So if the aris said, well, I'm taking 20 branches now and that's part of my payment and he'll take 20 tomorrow, then it will be okay. But that's not what the aris was doing. The aris stole them. The aris said, I'm stealing 20 branches now. What's left, I still have not reneged my, I haven't waived my rights to the rest of of the branches that are over there, I still have my right to them. These I stole. Now, maybe I'll do tshuva, maybe I won't do tshuva. But those are, I still have rights to those, 50% say, of those branches that are left. Now the Balabas, Rav Huna, goes and takes them. That's called Gezel. Right? That's the Shulchan, that's the way Shulchan Aruch Rav understands the Mordechai. The Ramah brings this Mordechai also after the first Yeshomrim. He says another Yeshomrim. Yeshomrim, a second Yeshomrim. De lo aminin avid inishdin lenafshe. We don't say a person can take the law into his own hands. Rak bechevet hamavura lo. Only in something that is clearly his. Shehu shalo. Kikon shagazel, like someone stole that item from him. Arotzel agazel, or he's coming now to steal it from me. Arotzel hazik, or he's trying to damage me. Then yochel hatzishla, can save my own property, even if it comes to beating him up. But if he owes me money because he stole and he sold that item, it's no longer around anymore, or he owes me money from some other source, from wages or like the other cases we talked about, then you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. Right? That's the remote second Yeshomrim. So of course we have to see what each Shita will do with the other Gemara. Right? The Rivash said that you can take your law into your own hands by other things, as long as it's not alone. What's he do with the sugya and brachas? So I have a few answers from the Rishon. Already start giving answers. Arivya says the problem over there was Rav Huna took it sneakily. He should have done it before Hesya, because he holds of Ben Bagbag's halacha. He shouldn't sneak in. You should do it outright. You shouldn't act like a ganav. You should show, say, look, I'm breaking your teeth. I'm taking my item back. That's the Rav Yos Teretz. The Shach and Tokko Cohen says it's talking. Rav Huna's case was where it's true that the Arvid stole it from him, but they already had a little bit of an interaction, and the Arvid said, "Okay, I'll pay it back to you and make terms." They had already converted it to a loan. So since they had converted it to a loan, in that case, Rav Huna had no right to take a mashkan by a loan. Shimon Mishpat brings from the Sholem Eishiv. He says the whole Maisa with Rav Huna is a Midas Chasidus, and we can't learn anything from that Midas Chasidus Rav Huna. So this is the first Shita of the Ramah, the first Yeshomrim, the Shita Sarivash, that you can take the law into your own hands by anything other than a loan. What you would do with the case in Brachas, you have one of these Terutzim. Now the Mordechai, though, and the second Shita in the Ramah said, he took the case in Brachas literally, seriously, and he sees from the case in Brachas that you cannot take the law in your own hand when you're not taking back your actual object that was stolen from you. Right? The first week we said you could take back your actual watch that he stole. Here we're saying it's true that it's not a loan, but it's not your watch you're taking back. You're taking back other branches that you can't do. What do you do? What's the Mordechai do with the Bryson and Baba Mitzia that we started with that says you're allowed to take a mashkon by wages, by lodging fees, by things other than loans? What do you do with that? So there's a machlokes between the Sma and the Taz. Really everyone talks about it, but the two we'll talk about are the Sma and the Taz. According to the Sma says the Mordechai will agree that you could take the law into your own hands. Because we have to make it clear, we're talking about two issues here. One is taking a mashkon. When you take a mashkon, a security, that's not taking the law into your own hands. What I'm doing is I'm taking a security, and then we'll go to a bezdin, and at least I feel like I have something, some security that'll help me with the loan. When we're talking about taking the law into our own hands, and that's what we want to focus on tonight, is what we would like to do. We want to avoid going to a bezdin. We want to avoid any discomfort, any uncomfortable encounters with other people. We want to just take the law into our own hands and take the money back. He owes us money. Let me take the law into my own hands and take back some of some money of his or some other items of his. He owes me the money. It's clear. Everyone would agree that he owes me the money. I know he owes me the money. I want to take the law into my own hands. Right? So the Sma says even the Mordechai would agree that you could do that. You could take that item of his. What the Mordechai says you can't do is you can't come to even hit him and beat him up for it. Right? We said when you take the law into your own hands, if he goes against you, he wants to stop you. You can beat him up, or you can cause him property damage if you need to take it out. So that you could do if you're taking your own item back. But if you're taking money or something in return for another debt that he owes you, so then you can't go so far as to hit him. So that's how it fits the Gemara in Bava Metzia. In Bava Metzia we said you can take a mashkan even for these other items, not for a loan. But that's what if you don't hit him. Rav Huna, and that's the problem, they ask on this much, so what, Rav Huna would hit him? It doesn't say anywhere that he hit the Aris. But what you can't do is you can't go to Hakah to hit him. That's the way the Sma explains the Sma Chokas between the Mordechai and the Rivash. In other words, the Rivash holds you could do whatever you need to do, even to hit him to make property damage, to take back any loan, to take back any debt other than a loan. And Mordechai says you can't go that far. All you could do, you could snatch it, you could take it back, but not if it has to come to blows or to property damage to the other person. That's the way the Sma understands the Machlokas. The Taz is not as makel for the victim, for the person who wants to get his money back. He says, the Rivash holds that you can go, when the Mishnah, when the Braita says you can take a mashkin for something other than a loan, that means after Beis Din gives you a shus to do it. In a case of a loan, you can't even go to the Beis Din. Beis Din can't give you a shus in a case of a loan to go into his house. It's a pasuk says. The pasuk says, don't go to the house of a borrower to take a loan. You can't do that, even to take a mashkin. You can't do that, even if the Beis Din says you can. In the case of other debts, so then Beis Din will give you a shus to do it. And that's what the Gemara Bava Metzia says. But Rav Huna took the law into his own hands to just without Rishos of Beis Din. That's what Rav Huna did wrong. He went without Beis Din to do it, and that's certainly a bigger chumrah. The Taz is saying, according to the Taz, we would be kind of stuck. Let's just review our cases and see how they work according to the different shitas. We have a case of the computer person. He's working for the company. They owe him wages. And he wants to take some computers home with him. When no one's looking, he'd be able to prove it probably. He'd win in court. But he wants to just take the computers home, avoid confrontation, and just take them home. So, what's the halacha? According to the Ramaz first shita, the Yesham and the Rivash, certainly he's allowed to do it. Why not? It's not a loan. And we say a person can take the law into his own hands in anything other than a loan. So he can take the computers home, as long as it's something that he could prove or that he knows is for sure true. If he can't prove it, he'd have to do it without Aiden. But he can take them home and take the law into his own hands, because that's what the Ramaz says he could do, according to the Rivash. However, the second sheet of the Ramaz, the Mordechai, says you can't take the law into your own hands. You can't take the law into your own hands because you're not taking back the thing he stole from you. He owes you wages. You have no right to take a computer. You can't take a computer back. Now, according to the Sma, well, if you could take it back without causing him any property damage, without hitting him, maybe it has some heter, even according to the Mordechai. But the way the Taz understands the Mordechai, you can't do that unless you get a shush from the Beis Din. You have to get a shush from the Beis Din, and then you're foiled your whole motives to avoid confrontation, avoid any tircha. You have to go to the Beis Din, so it's going to be, it won't be so simple to get a heter from the Beis Din. So you have a machlokas between the Sma and the Taz, whether you're allowed to do it, and the advice would probably be not to do it, because you know it's a machlokas, and no one did not machriya. The Rama brings both of the Yeshomrim, and you maybe make a sex cycle, but it's not so simple. And Pashtus is the Mordechai holds it's also to do, and you wouldn't be able to do it. And the same thing would be in the other case we said. Right, he owes you a bottle of wine. There's a bottle of wine missing in the box. So he owes you a bottle of wine. So that bottle that you're taking isn't the one that was, you know, as if you know that this is the bottle that he took out of the box. So that you could take that one back. But you have no way of knowing that. You probably got the box from the company like this, and, you know, they sealed it. And it wasn't probably even the seller's fault. It was probably the manufacturer. And for you to take a bottle from him, you have no right to do that. According to the Rivash, you'd be able to. It's not a loan. You could take the law into your own hands. you're sure that he owes it to you, even though you can't prove it. Well, you have to do it when no Edom, with no witnesses watching, you say you have the Migu, and you'll be able to take it. But according to the Mordechai, the way the Taz understands him, and the way the Tumim understands him, so you can't do that, because unless you have a Shoshetim, you can't even take a Mashkon. Right, much less take the law to your own hands and just keep it. You can't even take it as a mashkan unless you get a reshus from the best. And that would be the way the Taz would pass on the shayla. And we would also advise you not to get involved in Tol Machlokes Rishonim that that was costly to Rav Huna. Rav Huna's all his wine spoiled because he got involved with this. So that would be what we were saying until at this point. It's hard to do. Right, unless it could be the Sma saying you're not taking it as Ovid Nishdin Lenafshi, you're taking it as a Mashkon. The Mordechai is saying you can't take the law into your own hands unless you're taking back your own item. It says you are allowed to take a Mashkon. So that's the Mordechai can't deny that you can't take a Mashkon. So he says, yeah, you can take a Mashkon. You can take it as a Mashkon as long as you don't come to blows. As a halacha Mashkon, taking a Mashkon. And what are you going to do with the Mashkon? You can't sell it. You can't use it. You're going to have to then take him to a Bezin and say, look, I have a security here. I took this Mashkon. Let's go to the Bezin. It's a way of pressuring him to go to the Bezin. But you're not just making a Kiddush with it. You're just using it as a Mashkon. That's the best we could do according to the Mordechai. According to the Rivash, you take it, now it's your wine, and you make a Kiddush. It's finished. You knew that he was wrong. You don't want to bother going to the Bezdin, and you can take the law into your own hands and finish. You make the Kiddush and you're gone. Right? I think that's the way it would work. According to the Taz, you couldn't even do that unless you had a Rishus from Bezdin to take it to Mashkon. Now, there are some ways of getting out of this issue. The Ben Ish Chai in his Shuvas Rapa'olim had a similar shaila. Reuven owed a certain amount of money to Shimon. Shimon owed a certain amount of money to Reuven. And Reuven wanted to snatch some money snatch the money that he owed him. And it wasn't a loan. So the Ben Ish Chai comes up with a interesting yesod, and others bring that down, that it could be that if I see my watch in his house, so then I could take the watch. Right? If I see he owes me money, so I can't take his tires off the car, like he said last week. But if he owes me money, he stole it from me. He stole a watch from him. He sold the watch. He now owes me $100. So if I take $100 from him, so maybe that's taking back the same thing that he owes me. Right? He owes me $100, and I'm taking $100. He owes me cash, and I'm taking cash back. Maybe that could be considered the same thing. And he says, Lamaisa, if you fulfill a few conditions, you can do that. The first conditions is that you have to be sure exactly what he owes you, what he stole from you, what it's worth. And you don't take the like you said many years ago, you don't take the retail value. You take the retail value of a used item. You sell your watch, now it's chipped and it's 10 years old. You take the money that watch is worth. You have to know exactly what it's worth, and then you can take back that amount of money. That's number one. Number two is that it has to be money you're taking. You're not taking his car. You're not taking his watch. You're taking money. He owes you money. You know exactly how much it cost, how much money. It was a new watch, and you know what you paid for it, and that's what it goes for, and he stole it. And then he sold it quickly. So in that case, you can take back money. And then he has a third condition. It has to be that he's a strong guy, that you could never take the Bezdin. He won't listen to a Bezdin. But that's one heter that avoids this whole machlokas between the Mordechai and the Rivash. Is can you take something else back? Can you, if he stole something from me, he owes me money from wages, can I take some property of his? So I can't take property of his, according to the Mordechai, second sheet of the Ramah, but to take money back, if he owes me money, and I know exactly how much money he owes me, I know he owes me $2,000 of wages, so then I can go into the drawer and sneak out $2,000 from the drawer because Ovid Hinishdina Lanafshe, according to the Rav Olin. Because what are you doing wrong here? You don't have any problem of Mashkun, it's not alone. And it says the fairy she could take a Mashkun. There's a problem of Ovid Hinishdina Lanafshe only applies if you're taking back the exact thing that he owes you. Well, cash is no such thing as this is the same bill that he owes. He doesn't owe me a certain bill. He owes me cash. He owes me $2,000. I'm taking back $2,000. That's called the same thing. That's what Rav Paulim, Paskins, and Rabbi Omer brings it down also. That might be a possible way out. This new Shulchan Aruch HaRav that came out, he points out, the Haggadah one, it points out that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal Tanya disagrees with that because his whole svara was, what's the svara that you can't take it back? Because just because he stole from me, whatever I take from him now is going to be also gezel, right? Not that I'm not doing it right. It's that it's called gezel. Well, if he stole $2,000 from me, what right now do I have to take $2,000 from him? It still should be called gezel. He thinks the Baal Tanya would disagree with the Ben Ish Chai on that front. Maybe that's one thing to think about. There's a Shimon Mishpat who brought this whole case to start with. He's the one that talks about the computer case. He puts in another factor, and he says that even though we have this machlokes between the Rivash and the Mordechai, whether you can take the law into your own hands when you're not taking back the same exact object, but he brings from the Piskei Rioz that if the person you're dealing with is a person who's strong and won't listen to any din Torah, he's misarif to go to a bezdin, he doesn't listen to Dinei Torah, so you have no way of dealing with him. So then, in that case, you could take the law into your own hands, even according to the Mordechai. There won't be any machlokes in that case. And he said, and therefore, in this case, where this person was in Eretz Yisrael, and he was going to fly away to America and leave all his debts behind, so he said that then, in that case, it would be okay to take the law into his own hands. That's another factor that could help you. And a third possible factor we spoke about in the last couple of weeks, the Shira Sadin says, if you're not taking it into your own hands, you're not stealing it, but he happens to visit you and he leaves his coat there. He leaves something valuable in your desk, so you're not mechuyav to give it back to him. Right? If it's a pikadon, so that we said last week, it'll be dangerous for your health. If you take his pikadon, so that Hashem might not give you back your neshama tomorrow. Right, so you don't want to take a pikadon. But if it's not a pikadon, he just left it in the drawer, he left it in your closet. And it's there, sitting there. So in that case, the Shor Sedin says, you certainly can take it, because it's even a case of a loan, we said that you could take it in such a case. So that'll be another way out of it. So just reviewing the two cases and the difference between them, and then we'll say one last factor, which people sometimes make a mistake about. Right, it comes out that these two cases are different that we started with. In the case of the computers, he owes me wages. What's going on? If I took him to a din Torah, I clearly win, because everyone knows that he owes me every week. He has to pay me $1,000, and he didn't pay me 2 weeks in a row, and now I hear he's running away. So can I steal the computers? Well, first glance will say it's a machlokas. The Mordechai and the Rivash, maybe you shouldn't do it, because according to the Mordechai, you can't take something that's not exactly what he took from you. However, we saw according to the Rafa Olam, well, if he owes you money, maybe you could take money, but you're not taking money, you're taking computers. So that's not going to help you. But what's going to help you is this Piskei Riyot that says that if he's someone who's not going to go to an interview, he's running away, he's someone that you can't deal with, he's flying away. So in that case, you have the right to take the computers. He says, Halacha Lamaisa, probably you'd be able to take the computers, of course, ask a shayla in such a case, but that would be the first case we said. The other case, though, by the bottles of wine, you wouldn't be able to do with it. In the case of the wine, you bought a case of wine, there's one bottle missing. You want to go and steal a bottle. Now, the owner of the store is willing to go to a din Torah. He's not running away anywhere. He says, take me to a din Torah. I don't believe you that there was a bottle missing. You proved that there was a bottle missing. And of course, you have no way of proving it. You didn't take a video as you were opening it up, so, and even that wouldn't help because you could doctor it. But you have no proof, you have no witnesses that there was a bottle of wine missing. The reason you want to take the law into your own hands here is because you lose the case. You have no way of proving it. And the only way we would let you take the law in your own hands is like the sma that you sneak it out and get a migu, so you could win like that. But you're not interested in sneaking it out and going to the best, and then you want to just sneak it out and be clean and finished. So in that case, we are back to the machlokas, the Mordechai and the Rivash. The Mordechai would say that you can't do that. He owes you money for not, or he owes you a bottle of wine, but that's not this bottle of wine. You have no right to take something other than the actual thing that he stole from. He didn't steal this bottle of wine. So you have no, just like Ahuna, he's taking branches. He stole branches. So I can't take other branches. I can only take the branches he stole. If I could find the wine that was missing from this case, I could take that bottle of wine. But to take another one, you can't. I even say, well, maybe he's a strong person. He won't come. He'll go to an interpreter. You're just worried that you're going to lose the case. If you want to take the bottle of wine and make a migu and then go to an interpreter, so then maybe you'd have the right to do that. But if you're trying to avoid going to an interpreter and you want to just do it clean, it would seem that you couldn't do that. I'm thinking also, maybe, unless you say that I'm willing to go to a din Torah, I'll make my own din Torah, so I'm going to sneak it out, no one's going to see me. If I went to a din Torah, I'd win the case, but still the Mordechai says you can't do that, because he'd be willing to go to a din Torah with you. You don't have this heter of the Riyaz. He's not a Misari, so it would seem that you wouldn't be able to do it in that case. So that's really this machlokas, how it results. Now this last factor I want to say is, all these cases we've spoken about the last 3 weeks, how are you trying to get your money back? You're trying to get the money back very cleanly by stealing it back, right? You want to go to his house and take it from him and take his property. That's what we're talking about. But why aren't we talking about a simpler way of doing it? Why can't you say, let's say in the case of the wine, let me call him up and I'll say, I'll order a case, another case, I'll order 2 cases of wine from him, and I won't pay him. He'll say, you know, you owe me money for the wine, and I'll say, prove it to me. Right? Why are we worried about all these stealing it from him and taking mashkins? Why can't you just buy something from him and not pay him and let him take you to the Torah and you say, okay, oh, let's look, you owe me money, we'll make a wash. So there's a Beis Ephraim says you can't do that. That's not taking the law into your own hands. The Beis Ephraim had a shayla, Choshe Mishpat Simon Ayin Vav, he had a shayla where Reuven bought something for Shimon and now he doesn't want to pay Shimon, and he says, because you owe me money from somewhere else, Shimon. So the Beis Ephraim says, what? You bought this car from Shimon. You don't want to pay because he owes you $20,000 from years ago. But this car you bought, as you made a mechira, you were lokeach, you purchased this car from Shimon. And until you pay Shimon the $20,000, that car that you're driving is gezel lekuliyama. That car is stolen because you have to pay him. You can't just steal a car and not pay him. If you buy a car, you have to pay for it. You want to say, well, I didn't really mean to buy it. What I was trying to do was to take back the money that he owes me for the loan. I didn't really mean to buy it. I just meant to be tofes it as a mashkon. I take him going to my own hands. So that's the Beis Ephraim. It says, Dvarim Shebelei Veinam Dvarim. Your action was an action of purchase. In your mind, you wanted to say, well, I didn't really mean to purchase it. I meant to be toe-faced. I meant to take the loan to my own hands. But that doesn't count. We go by what your words say. You signed a contract. Well, if you signed a contract, you probably wouldn't be able to do it. But you agreed to say, I'm buying this item from you. I'm buying this car from you. And until you pay for that car, you're a ganav. That's simple. There's nothing to talk about. Even though there is a pun in the years, we spoke about 7 years ago, the case of the iron in the fair that you bring down. That seems that you were able to do it, but Pashtus, all the cases that the early poskim and the contemporary poskim are talking about are not like this, that you're buying something and then trying to make a wash. To take the law to your own hands, we're saying that you owe me money, and I'm going to take that money from you, I'm going to take that property from you, and that's the way you could take the law to your own hands when you're allowed to, but you can't make another deal and then not fulfill your conditions in that new deal, because that makes you a ganav. So reviewing what we've done the last 3 weeks, there is a law. Halacha is you can take the law into your own hands. Oven inish dina lenafshe. When you see your item in someone else's house or in his possession, or he's trying to take it from you, you can do whatever it takes to get that item back.
prevent him from taking from you, even if it comes to blows. We say you can't do extra blows, you can't call on names. You can only do what you need to keep that item in your possession. That's of it in his dinul and nafshe. It's talking where you can prove it's yours. If you can't prove it's yours, you have to do it quietly so you have a migu. That's what we learned, the typical case of avet nish dinul nafshe. If it's a loan, and that's what he owes you, so now you have a roadblock in your taking loan to your own hands, because whenever you would want to take something from him, you'll be over in the sitter eyes of taking a mashkon. Right? So in most cases, there's no practical way of taking the loan to your own hands when the money owed is a case of a loan. We said last week, there's one possible way of doing it. You make a take it as a payment, not as a mashkon. I mean, this is a payment, it goes straight to the bezin, that they should make the shuma. That might be a way of getting out of that.
Then this week we spoke about all other types of debts other than loans. There we saw there was a machlokas between the Rivash and the Mordechai. Are you allowed to take the loan to your own hands to take back something other than the item that is owed to you? It would seem that there's no hachras, and you shouldn't, in most cases, take the loan to your own hands in such a case. We did see, though, that the Shemrei Mishpat said that if it's a case where the person is running away and he's not going to come to a Beis Din, so then there might be some heter that you could use to take the loan to your own hands. We further saw a possible heter from the Ben Yishchai, if you're taking money back for money that he owes you, that might be called the same item. So these are possible cases where you might be able to have a heter, but as we've always said, ask a shayla before you do it, and you won't make mistakes.